This podcast is presented by All Copy Products, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Learn more at allcopyproducts.com.
To the 15 to the 10, Murray's going to score, touchdown!
Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield. Connor to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
Here we go.
One-handed catch and a touchdown.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, Paul Calvisi, and nine-year NFL veteran Rob Fredrickson.
This time next week, gentlemen, we'll have a handful, and more likely two handfuls, of new players to talk about. In the meantime, two more days of draft speculation. Welcome, and welcome back, Paul, from his math competition duties.
That's right. You talk about being the MC and the MC only. I was far from a contestant. You talk about being out of your element. I think last time I was on with Rob, and I mentioned how Sean Murphy Bunting was a zero-star recruit, and Rob's response was, well, finally, Calvi, see something you know something about. I know even less about math. Yeah, there I was, and we just, as always, get the ball to our playmakers. In this case, those Whiz Kids, all sponsored by SRP. There's a ding.
Yeah, I remember it was the Zero Star podcast that Calvisi was going to start. But
come
we
on.
Have him here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Speaking of numbers, Rob, how about the number 11? As in 11 total draft picks, 6 in the top 90, 2 in the first round. As we speak here on this Tuesday, we'll see if those numbers increase or perhaps decrease at all. But this draft is shaping up to really potentially set up the Cardinals not only for this season, for seasons to come.
Yeah, as it's set up right now, they're obviously in a good position to really change the roster, change the outlook of this roster, and bring in some quality players. And you know, who knows? It may be more picks at the end of the day. So we'll have to see, but. As they sit right now, the Cardinals really have a great opportunity to change the roster and change the outlook and the dynamic of this team.
There's an old saying on Wall Street, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, right? Don't be greedy. I'm boss hog right now. I mean, 11 picks, most in the NFL draft. What's wrong with more? What's wrong with trading down? Get a few more picks. This draft is absolutely historically loaded, is it not? Two first-round picks? Hey, do I hear three? I'm on board with that. I really am.
We've been told it's loaded with talent.
That's right.
A year ago at this time, what were we told about the draft class? A year from now, what are we going to be told about the draft class? It's all in the moment. And the more time that we have here to discuss the 2024 draft class, it seems like, Rob, the more we find more talent, because as I mentioned before here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, there are just 32 first-round picks.
Yeah.
You hear things, and all of a sudden it's like 64 players expect Roger Goodell to call their name on Thursday night.
Yeah, every year, this is a generational draft. This is a generational player. This position group, I've never seen anything like it. Well, the one thing I will say, and I've seen a lot of this, is next year's draft does not look to be a very good draft in terms of top-end quarterbacks. And so there may be some teams this year that really foresee a need for a quarterback, or maybe a year or two down the line, but they may want to come up this year in the draft. And, number 4 pick is looking mighty tasty for a lot of teams.
And is that really the first overall pick in this year's draft as far as what potentially might happen in picks 1, 2, and 3? But the board, if you will, for GM Monty Austin Ford, it's his second year. Really his first, though, as far as getting in place what he wanted as far as a scouting structure and getting prepared for the draft. His press conference, his annual pre-draft media availability, talked about where their board is at the moment and perhaps those mock drafts.
I'd say our board right now is 95 to 98% complete. We're, I think hay's in the barn, maybe that's a good way to put it. So we're in a good spot. We're in a really good spot. And so now I'd say for the next week is when we do turn our attention to scenarios and, this guy goes here and we use the mocks to take a look at that. And I would say I think for the next week, what we'll do is we'll throw different scenarios at each other and how will we react if this guy's available, if this guy's not available. And so that's what really this last week is for me.
And I don't think, Paul, he's reading or looking at every single mock draft out there, but his word of scenario and, all right, let's get however many people together around a table and say, all right, let's go. You've got the first pick, you've got the second pick, and let's go through it. All right, now throw me this scenario where Team X is trading with Team Y. How does that affect us at 4 or potentially 27, 35, et cetera?
And if you believe all the reports, all the mock drafts, and you believe even Sean Payton, right, it's good to be Monty, the Cardinals are at the, quote, pivot point of this draft, to the point where I wonder if the Patriots are wondering, wait a minute, because there's a report in the Boston Herald that the GM Elliott Wolf has come out and said that, yes, I've fielded phone calls and trade offers, but they're, quote, laughable right now. So you got to think that he's maybe trying to set the market. Maybe he's looking over the block wall into the Cardinals' backyard and saying, wait a minute, is Monty really going to get 3 first-round picks? Could he get 2 first-round picks in Justin Jefferson? Could he get 2 first-round picks in Patrick Surtain? Wow, that's pretty enticing. Why can't we get that if we're picking one slot ahead of the Arizona Cardinals? So anything, I think, at this point could happen. I think quarterbacks are going 1-2. Most likely quarterbacks are going 1-2-3-4 for the first time in NFL draft history. But if one of these teams is willing to make a deal, and I think the Cardinals are one of them, then chaos could ensue.
And, of course, if you do trade out of that fourth pick, that means additional draft capital, not only for this year, but, as I mentioned, 2025, potentially 2026. That's why Daniel Jeremiah, during his annual conference call with the media, talked about the importance of this draft and what it could mean for the Cardinals for years to come.
This is a set your franchise up situation here for the Arizona Cardinals. The Houston Texans did it last year. If you go back and look at a lot of the Super Bowl teams, you can identify the 1 or 2 year period where their draft set that run up. Seattle's one that comes right to mind, you know, what they did over a couple years. So this is their moment here. So they need to, they need to get some guys who really make a difference for them.
Paul and I discussed this earlier this week on Cardinals Cover 2, Rob, when you talk about a draft class that can really set up a team for the future. And you heard Daniel Jeremiah talk about a couple of teams there. And I brought up Cardinals 2004 draft class. Larry Fitzgerald, Darnell Dockett, Carlos Dansby, Antonio Smith. Those were the foundational pieces in addition to the year prior for that Super Bowl run. And the Cardinals come up just a little bit short against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But that's what a draft class can do, whether that's an offensive player or a defensive player or both sides of the ball, to really elevate everyone else on the roster.
Yeah, and especially when you're drafting in the top 10, the Cardinals are at number 4 right now, as of right now. You can't miss. You have to hit on that player. That player has to be a generational player, has to be a difference maker from day one. And, you know, just looking at it right now and what the Cardinals are thinking or what the mock drafts are saying, that would be the case. They would have, if they stayed at 4, they would have a generational type player available to them. When you get deeper in the draft and in the later rounds, you're looking for starters. You're looking for guys, key contributors, immediately, guys that can perform immediately, especially in that second, third, fourth round. You're looking for guys that, if not starters, they are key contributors. So there's a great opportunity here with all the picks that the Cardinals have for them to really change the face of this organization.
Look at last year and look at round 3. You nabbed Garrett Williams and Michael Wilson, right? You nabbed 2 starters right there. Wide receiver 2, hopefully, if you're the Cardinals, and a starting nickel, starting slot corner. So this year you have a trio of third-round picks. So we have all this focus on round 1 and those first 2 picks, number 4, number 27, and maybe ends up being 11, 23, and 27. Who knows? But the Cardinals have so many more picks throughout this draft, and that's where you really build the backbone. Those Seattle teams, which we know so well, they found Russell Wilson in round 3. They found Richard Sherman in round 3, Cam Chancellor in round 5. So if you can start hitting in those middle rounds and you can find guys that exceed their expectations in their draft slot, that's where you become a real contender.
And you come here to the Cardinals, Rob, you know you're going to be able or be given an opportunity to play and play right away. That was made very clear a year ago. Now, some of that might have been because of injuries, but the Cardinals had the most combined starts out of any team in the league. 64 starts by rookies last year. That was 9 better than the second closest team in the Houston Texans. So your draft status gets you in the building, maybe a little bit more of a longer leash, but there's going to be an expectation on that fourth pick, the 27th pick, to Paul's point, maybe some of those day two selections to come in and play key roles week one.
Yeah, position competition. That's what you want. You want depth, obviously, but you know, by position group, you want competition. And that really brings the best out of players. And so, you know, this roster has been a little lean, and some of it due to injuries, some of it due to just, you know, not the right fit. But going forward, if the Cardinals are able to have a successful draft to hit on some of these guys, as Paul mentioned, and create that competition at every position group, it's only going to benefit the team as a whole.
And there is certainly a loud buzz around the fourth overall pick, but let's not forget about pick number 27. And if you do stay at 4, then all of a sudden do we see Monty Whelan deal with that 27th overall pick to move up to address maybe a defensive position that maybe is too high at that fourth overall selection.
See, I've almost come full circle to back where I was when this all started, in that I think the Cardinals are going defense early. You trade down from 4, middle of the first round, supply and demand. There are far fewer elite corners and edge guys. You get one of those guys early, and then you find wide receiver 1 at 27 or 35. Are you going to get one of the big 3? No. But there are plenty of guys who will fall. Justin Jefferson, once upon a time, was drafted at 22. So if you're doing your homework and there's so much talent, I mean, there are guys like Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who kind of has the Anquan Boldin situation. He ran a 4.6 140, yet he was a basketball player, didn't really train for football, and he's 6'3 plus, he's 220, apparently has really good hands. I mean, these are the kind of guys who are going to fall to the end of round one. And I'm not so sure, based on what Monty was saying to the media. He mentioned the whole supply-demand dynamic. And if you have tackles and receivers who are absolutely loaded, I could see Cardinals getting one of each at 27 and 35.
Coleman is 6'4", 215, the 4.6 40, not great, but he had the fastest speed during the gauntlet drill of any wide receiver in the past 2 seasons. So Fitz didn't run a great 40. Can you get off the line of scrimmage?
It's funny how that works. Play speed, right? How do you play the game? They play fast in the game.
And a correction, Paul. Keon Coleman is a Spartan, not a Seminole.
That's right. He was at Michigan State. You're right. And then he ended up his last year playing ball. Yeah.
If the Cardinals do select Keon Coleman, we're going to have to get the two of you in the room together to kind of figure out, are you Florida State Seminole or are you Michigan State Spartan?
He bleeds green.
All in due time. By the way, the Arizona Cardinals draft party is Thursday on the Great Lawn at State Farm Stadium. Details, go to azcardinals.com/draft party. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
With the 6th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State.
The Cardinals were brilliant last year in the way they manipulated the draft. Monty Austin Fort, their general manager, went from 3 to 12 to 6, got everything he wanted, more picks. It was brilliant. It was great. And they're going to be open to doing the same thing.
And certainly Cardinals GM Monty Austin Fort would have the draft capital to move back up if the decision is to move off that fourth overall pick, as ESPN's Adam Schefter hinted at on Monday, not only online on ESPN.com, but also in an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show. As we say, welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Rob Fredrickson, as our focus and attention is on Thursday, the 2024 NFL Draft, when Roger Goodell says the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the fourth overall pick. That, Paul, is when the fun, I believe, will really begin, not only for us here with the Cardinals, but I think the entire National Football League.
And if one of these other teams out there that reportedly is interested in number 4 overall, if they don't meet Monty's asking price, then guess what the default plan is? Marvin Harrison Jr. or Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, one of the big 3 receivers, one of these guys that you're in desperate need of, one of these guys who, best case scenario, ends up walking into the Hall of Fame like when you said number 11 earlier off the top of the show, I thought you were talking about Larry Fitzgerald, but you were talking about the number of draft picks, because it seems like the fans have settled on Marvin Harrison Jr. I'd love to know why at this point. When at what point did the Red Sea just automatically bank on the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. is coming to the Cardinals? How do we even know, A, that they rate Marvin Harrison Jr. as the number one receiver in this draft? Because there are plenty of analysts and scouts who do not. And then number two, how do we know that Monty Osifor and Jonathan Gannon even value the receiver position in this run-first offense worth number four overall? We don't. We just have these presumptions. I think my theory is because Marvin Harrison Jr. reminds everyone of Larry Fitzgerald. That's what I think, but we'll find out.
He certainly has the pedigree, the bloodline, if you will, his father, a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Does that trickle down to young Jr.? I'm not sure, but all three of those wide receivers have been called generational. And I do think, one, it is a need, and that is a safe, as Paul likes to say, backup plan if you do not get the price to move down, whether that's to 6 or 11, 12, or 13.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, Paul, you like math. Obviously, right? You know, Paul Cassioke, Calvisi.
Yeah, I outsource it to the calculator.
If you have a $100 bill laying on the ground right in front of you, do you jump over that to pick up five $20 bills? What do you do?
Is this some sort of a psychological exam? Yeah. No, you take what's right in front of you. Why need five when you have one, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, but it's the same value. Here's my question, okay? If, for example, you get these, there are three best-case scenarios to me. If you were to go ahead and trade with the Giants, you go down to number six. Here's the best-case scenario possible. You go to six, and then all of a sudden, quarterbacks go one through four, and Jim Harbaugh ends up drafting tackle Joe Ault at five. You still get Marvin Harrison Jr. at six, plus a couple of round two picks from the Giants.
Yeah. No, that's a dream scenario. That's best case, but, you know, It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, obviously. But I'm of the opinion, look, if you're at number four and you have Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting there, that's to me, that's a generational type player. Cardinals really haven't had that number one since Larry Fitzgerald. Haven't had that number one receiver. You know, we've had some other guys that did okay, but you know, to have that kind of arsenal for Kyler Murray and for this offense to build around, I think that's something that you just go and then you have a lot of picks after that. Look, you already have a lot of picks after that, so you can build this roster from there, because look, there are plenty of needs on this roster from position group to position group. There are needs throughout this roster, so the Cardinals will address it at some point.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, his latest and final mock draft 4.0 had the Cardinals sticking and picking Marvin Harrison Jr., and he wrote the following. The silky smooth pass catcher is wide receiver one Kyler Murray needs to take the Cardinals offense to another level. To your point, Rob, that's what you would do, stick and pick. Yet at the same time, we know that Monty Osifor is listening. We talked about Adam Schefter off the top here on this segment. More from Schefty on the Pat McAfee Show about that fourth overall pick.
The Cardinals pick is for sale, but no sales are final until they're on the clock. And even then, I think four is going to be a tough spot to get to for some teams. I just don't know in the end that Arizona is going to be willing to give up the chance to get the top wide receiver in this draft to get extra picks.
Too bad the cameras are not on, but I paint the picture here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Calvisi just placed in front of him a for sale sign. I'm guessing it's not from your car, one of your many vehicles, or your house. You just have it laying around the house.
I'm the seller. I can set the price where I want. It's an exorbitant price. You're going to have to pay through the nose. I know I'll get a lot of feedback in the messages here on OfferUp or whatever, Facebook Marketplace. You don't like it? Whatever. Don't pay it. But this is the price to come up and get your franchise quarterback at number four. Because look what happened last year. Will Anderson Jr. ended up being the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. And the first-round pick you received ended up being number 27 overall because C.J. Stroud was ridiculous, one of the best rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. So there is risk in trading out of three. There's risk in trading out of four. thou shalt make it worth my while to move out of this and give up on Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, or Malik Nabers.
It certainly doesn't hurt to listen to whatever offers are out there. Monty Austin-Ford, last week, his pre-draft presser, says just that. He's going to listen and offered a great analogy, speaking of houses.
We've had talks with multiple teams, and multiple teams have checked in with us. And I think the way I look at it is like, guys, I love my house. I love where I live, okay? My wife loves where we live. If all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and someone's going to offer me something and I'm going to look and see what they're offering me. And if I open that up and it's something I'm not expecting, hey, Shannon, let's go pack up. It's time to roll.
Everyone has a price.
Yeah.
The question the answer we do not know, Rob, is what is the price to move off of that fourth overall pick?
I think at the bare minimum, it has to be two ones plus some other picks. But if you're talking three ones, I think that's a scenario where Monty's telling his wife to pack up, let's get out of here. That to me is where it gets very appealing and very real, is when you have to really, because as Paul mentioned, this draft class is so deep at certain positions. Obviously, position groups that are of need for the Cardinals: wide receiver, very deep; quarterback, obviously. So that'll affect the top end of the draft. So, there's quality in this draft for the Cardinals at further down at the bottom half of the first round, second round, third round. There's some quality players. So if it is a offer that is way out there, out of bounds. It's something that the Cardinals will certainly seriously consider.
You, though, have been pretty consistent about that fourth pick and wanting Marvin Harrison Jr. And yeah. It just hit me right now, Paul. The reason why is because if you look at the last two seasons, MHJ had perhaps his two best games of his career against Rob's alma mater. In 2022, there were 7 catches for 131 yards and 3 touchdowns. A year ago, 7 catches for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown.
You know when they do those little video of breakdowns of the player that's about to be drafted or just got drafted? It's always, always against Michigan State. We make everybody else's highlight. I don't understand it.
Well, guess what? There's company in that. J.J. McCarthy recently said on a podcast that the one player he would get off the bench and watch while Michigan's defense was on the field was every year the U of M played Ohio State. He wanted to see Marvin Harrison Jr. in person up front. And that's the way it works. I mean, there are those guys that other players will step up and want to see, those sort of talents. They want to see them in person. And, so whether it was C.J. Stroud saying to NFL general managers, don't overthink it, don't be dumb, he's that dude. Okay, guess what? It's there potentially, and the Cardinals have a decision to make.
And that's what you're weighing. You're weighing that talent versus potentially three very good players and maybe future good players versus what you hope and believe is going to be a Hall of Fame talent. But is one better than three or four? Growing up, no, four is greater than one. But if that one is Larry Fitzgerald, right, part two, then all of a sudden it becomes much more difficult to move off of. But you need more, talking about needs, that you need more players than just the one if the Cardinals want to get back into the playoff picture.
It has to be a scenario where the Cardinals see the value of trading the priority, the top pick, and what they potentially can get, the haul, as being more valuable. It gets back to math. It's really, how do they envision it? Does this seem more valuable for us to trade back and pick up these additional picks? If not, then they have to stay. They have to stay at four and pick what I think is a generational type player.
I mentioned this on Cardinals Cover 2, the question NFL Network posed the other day: who's under more pressure in this draft, the Broncos or Cardinals? I'm like, what? WUT? What? What are you talking about? The Broncos don't have a franchise quarterback. They're going to have to pay dearly to come up and get a franchise quarterback. How do you know you're not going to end up drafting the next Trey Lance or Zach Wilson? The track record on these top five quarterbacks has not been good. Where's the pressure on the Cardinals? They're just fielding mega offers at this point, and if they don't get an offer they like, guess what? You know what? It's done. We take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. I don't see where the pressure's on the Cardinals necessarily at all.
The only pressure is getting it right, and you're not going to know that for several years, even if you decide to pick Marvin Harrison Jr., and all of a sudden 5 years from now is, hey, you let Roma Dunze go. Why did you take him over MHJ? It's like Bruce Feldman, college football writer on The Athletic, talked to a dozen scouts and coaches in the NFL. Has Malik Nabers better than both MHJ and Roma Dunze? It's not a consensus, at least among unnamed NFL personnel.
Yeah, that report said it's Malik Nabers, there's a gap, and then there's Roma Dunze and Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's why mock drafts and draft prognosticators, it's the greatest business ever. There's no accountability.
Yeah.
There's none.
If they're lucky, they get three or four right per year.
A lot of talk about wide receiver, other positions the Cardinals might target. That's next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
This is a James Conner 4-yard touchdown run. Just do flat shovel, flat face as Jack Nicholson.
Flat shovel, flat face. That's how you run the ball inside the red zone. A little goal to go. Hand it off to James Conner. Let him find the light. And that's what he did. Here's James Conner.
Flat shovel, flat shovel, flat face. That's how you run the ball inside the red zone, sonny.
Love hearing from Frank Caliendo, a recent addition on the Dave Pasch podcast, and some of the words that do come out of the mouth of color commentator Ron Wolfley and the voices, the many voices that Frank has. But when you really dive into what Wolf does say during the course of a podcast, flat shovel, what? Really? Huh? Scarecrow on a stick? What?
And when he gets into Bill Walton, it is surprisingly, shockingly close to Ron Wolfley. There's some tendencies in there that are akin to one another. Here's the thing, though. Can I take umbrage with the fact that Dave actually owns that podcast? Absolutely not. Whenever Frank Caliendo comes on, it's just the Frank Caliendo podcast. All Dave does is add water. You talk about turnkey. What does Dave Stinkin do in that podcast when Caliendo comes on? All he does is laugh. That's all he does.
Sources the guests. That's what he
right.
does.
That's yeah, right.
He's a producer.
That's right.
At that point.
Yeah. Hit the red light and just go. As we go here on the Cardinals Red Sea Reports, Craig Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Rob Fredrickson, as we heard Frank describe one of James Conner's touchdowns, over 1,000 rushing yards last season, a career year for James Conner. Why are we talking about James Conner in the running back position? Well, not just the running back position, but there are other positions, as we've detailed here, Rob, that the Cardinals might have interest in on offense and defense. They're set at quarterback. They don't need any more quarterbacks, but a wide receiver, yes, and we discussed that. But what about tight end? What about running back? Positions not only for this season but for seasons to come, and you look at the depth at running back, and yeah, the Cardinals did sign DJ Dallas. They really like Amari DiMercato, Michael Carter on the roster, but running backs, especially on day three, there's always teams that have the ability to find that running back, that diamond in the rough, if you will, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, got him in the fifth or sixth round, and all of a sudden there's a 1,000-yard running back on your roster.
Yeah, we got him in the fifth round because he was the highest on our board. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, there's two types of teams, right? You hear this all the time, and come draft season, it's the teams that draft the best available player, regardless of position, and the teams that draft based on need. Those two scenarios kind of fit together for the Cardinals. And if you find a player that is high on your board, regardless of positional group, and then you also have that need for that position, that's a home run. That's what you want. And so, you know, that there's going to come those scenarios where, you know, you look at the running back position, and, you know, you kind of like this position group for the Cardinals, and you like where they're at, and you know, you look at the players, and, you know, we don't really need a running back necessarily, but man, this guy is like has a first round grade. He nicked up his knee maybe a little bit his senior year, but he's got a first round grade, and we're, you know, sitting here in the fourth round. you got to go for it. Take a flyer and let's see what happens. That's how you hit on some big players in the draft.
And every GM works a year ahead of time, do they not? James Conner going into 2025, whether it's at safety, 2025, whether you're looking at some center, 2025. So you're always working a little bit ahead of time. You always have an eye for players who will excel on special teams. Last year, Owen Papo, you know, unbelievably athletic, hard-nosed guy, might be a little raw at inside linebacker. There's a learning curve, but day one, he's plug and play on all the special teams. So you're looking at those situations. And then I do believe tight end is in play. You're looking at a team, an offensive coordinator in Drew Petsing, who will go 13 personnel in an instant. So do you have that personnel? Do you have the depth in the tight end room that you need or want right now? One thing about the Cardinals offense, incredibly versatile. They'll go 10 personnel. I don't want to sound like Wolf here. Four receivers in the next snap. Boom, 13 personnel. There's three tight ends out there. So, and yes, they have the ability with James Conner to split them out wide even at times. We've seen anything and everything in terms of personnel and formations. And because of that, and the fact you have 11 draft picks, yes, I think you're probably going to see some positions maybe you didn't expect.
And it's those positions maybe on second round, third round, you're like, well, wait, why that particular position right now? But it goes back to your point, Rob, like, well, we had him rated so high on our board that we couldn't pass on that player. Now we're doing a disservice to everyone else on the roster, even though maybe it's not really a quote-unquote position of need, but that talent is so valuable that we have scouted that we need that player, whether it's for a handful of games this year or all of next season.
Whatever your philosophy is going into the draft for Monty Osifort, you have to stick with it, right? Because if you completely abandon your philosophy and take a flyer or take a stretch on a guy that is not ranked on your board according to either position group or according to overall, you're violating your own rules in terms of what you will do when you're going to draft players. And once you do that, then you know, all bets are off. You just lose all of your, you know, kind of your mojo, I think.
And what are GMs fond of saying? Your needs today are not your needs tomorrow, are not your needs next year. And some of that's just injuries over the course of a season. You weren't even out of week two last June. You already lost Carlos Watkins and LJ Collier. And by the middle of the season, the D and D line stood for decimated. So you have to account for the potential, the possibility of injuries, knock on wood, especially to some of your starters at some of those positions. How are you equipped beyond those guys?
Yeah, what happens in September, October, and you're like, oh, remember when we did that back in April? We're better equipped to handle that injury, whether that's short-term or long-term. And then you go back to what teams do in free agency. The Cardinals did signed DJ Dallas, a running back, hasn't had a lot of carries in his time with the Seahawks a year ago, probably more of a special teams, but I'm sure he would love more carries behind James Conner, Michael Carter, Amari DiMercato. In fact, DJ on the Big Red Rage talking with Paul and Wolf about being more of a running back this season.
That I'm a three-down back, that I can do everything between the tackles, outside of the tackles, catch the ball out of the backfield, and that I'm reliable and trustworthy.
And something you said earlier, Rob, as far as that competition, because however you got here, however allowed you to walk through those doors, once you step on that football field, every head coach, they're going to play the best 11 on offense and the best 11 on defense.
Yeah, and let's be honest, you're sticking with the running back position. You know, James Conner is going to need a blow every now and then. He's going to need some rest. You know, he's not getting any younger, and you want to keep him as fresh as possible. So, love Michael Carter, but if you can add in that DJ Dallas and have him be productive when he's given an opportunity, that's just better for the entire team and for the position group as a whole.
I tweeted out when the Cardinals signed DJ Dallas, RB2 update desk, and then a lot of fans, there was a lot of blowback, like, oh, come on, Calvisi, it's Michael Carter, it's Amari DiMercato. Really? You think that's been decided yet? Do you think that the next guy in line to get the carries after James Conner, that they've determined that yet? How do you know that guy isn't coming in the draft? That will be determined in the offseason, in training camp, I firmly believe. Look, we know enough about DJ Dallas. He hasn't gotten a ton of carries against the Cardinals, but in those games the Cardinals have played against Seattle over the last few years, there have been opportunities. DJ Dallas runs hard. He breaks tackles. he gets there, he stokes it between the tackles. So I fully expect him to compete. He believes he's a three down back. Now we'll see, but obviously he has the ability to make dudes miss. He's a premier return guy in the NFL. So like the Greg Dortch, well, wait a minute. If you can make plays after the ball's in your hand on return, then why couldn't you do that on offense? Just get him a little space and get him the football.
And if you're big on special teams, you have a uniform on Sunday. It means you're active on game day, and all of a sudden someone gets hurt ahead of you or someone needs to blow. All right, who do we have up and ready? Okay, DJ, you're in. You're in for a handful of carries because James needs a rest. But if you don't show that on special teams, then it's someone else that's on the field for those handful of plays.
Yeah, special teams are so important. I'm just going back to Jonathan Gannon, and you know, he does not play favorites. He plays the best available player, and that positional competition that we talked about is Jonathan Gannon. Look, they cut what we thought would be starters last year, so you know, he's not afraid to shake things up and play the players that are actually doing the work in practice, in the weight room, and most importantly, in games. And so to have that competition and to have all these draft picks is just going to create more competition going into training camp. I think it's a win-win.
And if you are a starter, maintain that position. Keytrell Clark, a starter earlier in the season, and all of a sudden lost his job. So even if you are a starter coming out of training camp, Paul, you have not arrived with this coaching staff.
Look at Marco Wilson. He was a starter when the season began. By the end of the season, he wasn't even on the team. So he'd been released coming out of training camp. We were up in Minnesota for the joint practice. Wow, the third-round rookie receiver, what's his name again? Because he's running with the ones, Michael Wilson. And sure enough, he was a starter in week one. Why? Because he was blocking his position. So there are certain things that the coaches value that maybe we don't ascertain right away as to why he's getting playing time. How's he doing in the meetings? What's his mastery of the playbook? Can you trust him? You got to earn all the coaches' trust, especially as a rookie. And then, is he hard-nosed? And we found out last year between Drew Petsing and Jonathan Gannon, if you're a receiver and you're not blocking, you're not playing.
Cardinals, as Monty Austin-Ford said, will be convicted with every single player they select on Thursday, and convicted by the talent, by the person, and then the role that they have for that particular player. They just might not vocalize that to us until we see it on the football field.
Yeah, and then you got to coach them up, right? You know, because there's going to be some raw guys out there. There's going to be some guys that they love. They love the person. They love how they played in college, but the NFL is a different game. So you coach them up, get them as prepared as you can, and then let's see what they can do on the field.
It is the best reality TV out there, and you can watch it with Paul coming up on Thursday on the great lawn at State Farm Stadium. The Arizona Cardinals draft party on Thursday. Gates open at 4 p.m. Cardinals players, cheerleaders, Big Red, and of course, Paul will be there as well. It is all free. Go to azcardinals.com/draft party.
Now forget the handing out the roses, you know, in The Bachelor. This is reality TV. The big red rose is handed to which player Thursday night?
This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Hello?
Is this Michael?
Yes, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael, this is Monty Austin-Ford, the GM at the Arizona Cardinals. How you doing, bud?
What's going on? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Where are you at right now?
I'm just at home in Simi Valley. I just got family and friends here.
Family and friends, okay. Well,
yes, sir.
Michael, you're about to have some good news for him, buddy.
All right.
We're on the clock right now, and we're about to make you an Arizona Cardinal.
Ah, man.
That's exciting, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, we like everything you're about, okay?
Yes, sir.
You're physical. You know how to run routes. You catch the ball, okay? This is an exciting night for you and your family, all right?
Michael, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I promise. You just guys got the steal of the draft. Thank you so much for taking me.
We think we got the steal of the draft, too.
The draft changes individuals' lives, changes families' lives, and you could hear the emotion of Stanford wide receiver Michael Wilson, the third round pick, 94th overall, the phone call received from GM Monty Austin-Ford and owner Michael Bidwell a year ago. Who gets that phone call coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? The emotion in those phone calls, Paul, something I'll never get tired of listening to.
To me, nothing a prospect can say matches that sort of emotion. that says it all to me. It just demonstrates, it illustrates what the game means to him, how meaningful that moment is. And as we got to know Michael Wilson, you understand the emotion, because after he got hurt for the third year in a row, he was really uncertain if he was going to get drafted at all. It's only after he got an invite to the Senior Bowl, which was sort of one of the last invites extended, that really was his path to the NFL draft and a future NFL career, because it was there where he's able to get healthy in time and compete, because he didn't have the film a lot of other guys did.
A lot has changed since you received a phone call on draft day.
Yeah.
What was it like? I'm sure there were no cameras in your face to record it all. I don't want anyone to say.
Why not? He was a first-round pick. Were there cameras there?
Well, cell phones? Right. Cell phone video?
Funny draft story. So, you know, I'm obviously watching the draft at home with my family, because I wasn't one of the top 10 picks to go to New York. So I end up coming from East Lansing, driving home, and pull into the driveway, and there's this massive satellite trailer in our driving in our driveway. And I said to my dad, what's this all about? He's like, well, you know, we just got cable, and only the first round is carried on ESPN, and we don't have ESPN2. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's not ding number one. You don't think I'm going in the first round. So we're down in the basement watching. You know, my mom's making sandwiches and everything. We got a scout from the Dallas Cowboys watching the draft with us, and he's reporting back to Dallas any phone calls that I get before I'm picked. And you know, finally the phone call comes, and it's Al Davis, and everybody's going crazy, getting excited, and once the kind of the commotion settles down, the scout for the Cowboys kind of turns and looks at us and says, y'all mind if I finish my sandwich before I get out of here? It was a good day. It was a great day. Yeah.
What was it like talking to Al Davis? An NFL Hall of Famer. I mean, just an icon, Al Davis.
Yeah, well, you're about to be a Raider. And he threw some expletives in there and handed the phone over to Art Schell, the head coach. And so, yeah, it was we could spend hours talking about Davis. But
yeah.
Draft day was so special, and it's going to be so special for all these players coming up.
You had a Dallas Cowboys scout watching the draft with you. Was that common to have scouts with players at the time? I don't think
– No.
Okay.
No, but apparently the Cowboys had the next pick, and they were going to take me. And I could have had a few Super Bowl rings right now, but that's all right. You know, things work out the way they do.
What might have been for Rob Fredrickson, what might become for 11, at least right now, potential Arizona Cardinals players. The Cardinals do have 11 picks as we speak. Keep in mind, they only have 6 in 2025. Is that too few for Monty Austin Ford as far as potentially trading down to acquire more draft capital? But when it comes to when the Cardinals are on the clock and Monty Austin Ford looks at that board, he talked about what he looks for as far as a draft philosophy.
Good players, right people, can't get enough of them. So that will always be our draft philosophy, picking the right people. Good people, good players, people that fit what we're trying to do both on the field and off the field. We can't go wrong if we draft those people.
He talks about people, Paul. He's not talking about players. Yes, you do need players, but I do think, based off what we've heard, what we've seen, and some of what has been done as far as the players not in that locker room anymore, the people, the person, means just a little bit more.
I think this is just my gut feeling. This is just me from the outside looking in after spending a year with this staff and these decision makers. They're looking for players who are serious about the game of football. You might think, oh, that's Captain Obvious. But no, they want to know that these guys are fully vested into football as their career, as their livelihood, that they love the game. They're not just blessed with measurables and they were sort of forced into the game and these guys are doing it for a living. No, they live football. As in, it's their lifeblood. And I think that's what they're trying to ascertain with a lot of the guys that they have on their radar.
Do you have a passion for the game? Or to Paul's point, do you play the game because you're 6'4", 250 pounds, and you've been told, hey, you'd be good at this particular sport and this position?
In basketball, they call them gym rats, right? You know, to find those guys that don't want to leave the facility. They're first in, last out. That's an accounting principle, Paul.
Yes, it is. Philo, first in, last out. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need some players that are philoed. We're going to coin that.
We'll see what those players are coming up in just 2 days. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Cardinals with 11 picks. And then, of course, 1 week from today, right back here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, we will discuss those individual draft picks here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. Special thanks, everyone behind the scenes, our executive producer, Jim Omohundro, associate producer, Cody Fincher, technical director, Matt Lazarus. For Paul Calvisi, Rob Fredrickson, I'm Craig Riolu. We will talk to you in 1 week's time. Who will be the next Arizona Cardinals player? We'll find that out in 2 days. The 2024 NFL Draft is just about here. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown. Buda Baker with the sack, stripped the ball. Murray's going to score, touchdown.
Oh, baby.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! Cardinals win!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.